From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fifth day of April 2017. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's from Stuart Peterson. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated will join us a bit earlier than usual today. He's going to help us try to debunk some of the things you've been hearing about the weather forecast in Argentina, Ukraine, Russia, and even right here in the United States. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss what's been happening in the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's the ethanol plant outside of Logansport, Indiana. And check in with USDA. April is Invasive Species, Disease, and Pest Month.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson now joins us. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us again today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start out. Last week we had a couple of reports, and I kind of wonder what you made of those. Let's start with the grain stocks numbers.
Well, you know, when I looked at the grain stocks numbers, of course, we know that they all came in higher than the average guesses. But the thing I always like to look at is, you know, where are the stocks located? So when you looked at corn this year, on the farm, we had 56.9% of the crop compared to 55.4 last year, meaning that at the elevator, we had 43.1 versus 44.6 last year. So there's still quite a bit of corn out in the country, although I have to admit, I was pleased with the numbers to see that they were relatively close. When it comes to beans, we only had 38.5 on the farm compared to 43.1 last year, meaning that off the farm it's 61.5 versus 52.5 last year. And so, you know, those are interesting numbers. They definitely have some meaning when it comes to us watching what's going on the market itself.
Well, what exactly does it mean?
As a farmer, when you're holding the grain, when it's on your farm, you want to sell it for the highest price, right? You know, so when the elevator wants to buy, they want to pay the lowest price. Only makes sense. It's business. But when the elevator owns a majority of a crop, you know, they want to sell for the highest price. So basically, to me, what it means is bean prices may not go as low as one expects because the elevator does own the majority at this point in time. So I'd say, you know, farmers should be watching basis really close. If it improves on a downtrending market, you know, look for a potential turnaround in that market. It just gives a person some hope. Let's put it that way.
What'd you think of the acreage numbers?
Well, you know me. I'm always down into the report, and I always like to look at the deviation because so many people focus on those numbers that are published and think that that is the know-all, end-all, be-all, and it's not. On the corn report, we had a 2.6% deviation, which means that 90 million acres could turn into 87.6 or 92.3. And when you look at the March forecast compared to final acreage differences in the last 20 years, the average that it's changed is 1.027 million. The largest change they ever had was 3.073 million. On beans, we had a 3.5% deviation. And that means the 89.5 the USDA published could be 86.37 or it could be as high as 92.6. In 20 years, what we've seen is a 1.26 million difference, and the largest is 3.296 million. Now, I like to look at cotton too, Todd. I mean, you might think it's crazy, but cotton is easily changed to beans. They use the same chemicals, everything else. So there was an 11.1% deviation, meaning that 12.2 million acres could be all the way down to 10.8 or as high as 13.5. On average, it's 617,000, but the largest they've ever seen is 2.115 million acre change. So, you know, it still all comes down to weather. I think it's possible we could see almost equal acres for corn and beans, you know, that we could make some shifting around yet. And again, that's still going to depend on what our weather does.
What about other crops around the planet? Have you been watching Brazil pretty closely? They're beginning to wrap up their bean crop numbers, I know.
Yeah, they're harvested 74% right now. The yields are pretty impressive, 55 to 65 bushel to the acre. And, you know, the USDA increased their production to about 4 billion bushels, which is up another 36 or 37 million bushels over last month. I think, you know, again, goes back to the old adage, the crop big crop keeps on getting bigger. And they had just such perfect weather, and you just can't deny it. When you look at corn, that didn't change much. 3.5 billion bushels, basically, is what they're looking at for production level. The Safrina corn is all planted now, and they're expecting about 89.2 bushels to the acre. Now, full-season corn, which has been harvested, averaged about 198 bushels to the acre, which is pretty impressive for down there, too. I mean, Safrina corn is a double crop, and it's still producing, you know, close to 90 bushels to the acre. So you know that the weather has been really good all the way around.
Anything from the livestock sector?
Well, you know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about this Brazilian scandal, and the only thing I really want to say today is, you know, when the scandal came out, if you looked at livestock, we gained $5 in most months in a week, you know, on thoughts that we were going to get some of the export sales, and then we lost that same $5 in 2 weeks on the information that exports are being allowed back into the countries that had banned them. You know, basically the bottom line is you got to take advantage of the opportunities, you know, that come from the idea something may happen, you know. You could have bought a put. You can always roll it higher if the market keeps going up, but you'd at least be protected if it goes back down. You know, so much happens in this particular marketplace based on speculation about what is going to happen versus what really happens.
Any final thoughts before I let you go?
I think I thought this was really good myself, to be honest with you. They started distributing Cherry Coke in China now. And guess whose face is on the can?
I don't know.
There's just no way. I don't think anybody would be able to guess this. Warren Buffett. Can you imagine?
But, the Oracle, you know, himself.
From everything,
huh?
The Oracle himself, yes. But, I did quite a bit of reading about it. And one of the things that's different between China and here for sure is that in China, business leaders are much more revered than sports stars. You know, they and so, you know, I guess when you looked at Coke, they decided that if they were going to have a face on there that would really move their product, they're going to put him on. And, of course, you know, Berkshire Hathaway is pretty involved over in China, too. But I thought that was just something. I can't quite imagine what it looks like, to be honest with you. So you have a great day. Thanks, Todd.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. That's Jackie Veg. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, a couple quick market-related items up front. Farmers are planting corn at twice the speed of last year in Louisiana and are 2 weeks ahead in Texas. That could bring forward harvest to clash with peak exports from South America. And that could push global corn prices down a bit further, depressing an already struggling U.S. farm economy, where net incomes are likely to be at their lowest level since 2002 this year. A lot can change between now and August, but right now it sure looks like it's a buyer's market, says a U.S. corn exporter. Farmers in these southern states have taken advantage of abnormally high temperatures in recent weeks that warmed up soils to work fields earlier. Corn in Louisiana was 90% planted as of Sunday, up from 45% during the same week last year and above the five-year average of 70% planted. That according to USDA's weekly crop progress report released Monday. Well, from Louisiana, let's jump to Washington, D.C. First, it was paperwork from the White House, and now it's Cuba. Turns out some of the delay on Sonny Perdue's confirmation as Ag Secretary may have been due to his stance on U.S. trade with the island nation. Until yesterday, Senator Robert Menendez had placed a hold on bringing a vote on Perdue to the Senate floor over concerns about the nominee's views on Cuba. But the former Georgia governor gave Menendez a buzz on Tuesday, and the New Jersey Democrat agreed to stop slowing the vote. This according to spokespeople for both Perdue and Menendez. With no other apparent obstacles in place, Senate Ag Chairman Pat Roberts says he wants to ask for unanimous consent to move the vote sometime this week. If that does not happen, it could be May before an Ag Secretary is in place. The Senate recesses on Friday for 2 weeks. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., and with Trump administration nominees, the third Democratic senator facing progressive backlash amid the Gorsuch battle that's at the Supreme Court is Joe Manchin, who happens to be a prime mover behind a Democratic effort to link confirmation for Robert Lighthizer, Trump's pick for U.S. trade representative, to an effort to renew a benefits program for minors that sunsets this month. If confirmed, Lighthizer would play an integral role in the NAFTA renegotiations, We may learn more about his fate in the Senate on Thursday when the Senate Finance Committee is scheduled to mark up his nomination. Democrats say the veteran trade attorney still needs a waiver to serve as USTR because of past work on behalf of foreign governments. Manchin and other Dems have tried to use the waiver legislation as a vehicle to re-up the unrelated minors benefits program. For now, both sides seem to be working on a solution which may involve rolling the waiver and the minors bill into a must-pass government spending measure later this month. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You know, we're a week and a day from our WILL marathon. We're going to try to raise $100,000 in 26.2 hours. But frankly, we kind of need your help early on. If you enjoy the ag programming, if it makes a difference for you, visit will.illinois.edu/team and find out how you can help us out right now. We're going to switch things up now. I'll bring you the weather forecast a bit early. Drew Lerner is next. This is the closing market report for Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is now here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thanks so much, Drew, for being with us. Let's not start in the United States today, but check out some of the other growing regions across the planet. Maybe we should go to Argentina. I read a story that they're thinking, hey, it's a little wet down here, and there could be some reminders of last year, but I'll let you be the judge of that one.
Yeah, you know, there has been a lot of rain down there. There's no doubt. And what was really interesting is that in La Pampa, which is the southwesternmost state in the country, they have had it between 8 and 15 inches of rain at a couple of locations in the past 7 or 8 days. And so I decided I'd go back and look that up and just see how does that compare to reality on a normal year, and that's about 5 inches more than what they usually get in the first 4 months of the year. So the first thing you think about is, oh, that's got to be a problem. But then I decided that I would go back and I'd look at the entire country and do a percentage of normal rainfall since the first of the year, you know, because we've been, every week it seems like there's some area in Argentina is being flooded and being impacted by tremendous amounts of rain, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out that the outside of that area that I just described, the majority of the countries had normal to maybe 1.5 times normal rainfall for the whole of the year. And I thought that was very interesting, and it reflects the production that's been so good in Argentina. You know, they keep raising the yields across the country. And I think this is the reason for that is that these areas, they keep getting flooded. They aren't the same areas every time around. And when they are flooded, they aren't damaged to the point of non-recovery. And the rest of their growing season has been a little drier bias. So it's turned out that it's not been all that bad in Argentina. Now, the current worry is that it's raining too much once again, and it is raining quite a bit. It will do so through the weekend. But next week and the following weekend will be dry in Argentina, and I can't get too excited about serious quality problems because most of the areas that are getting bombarded with the heaviest rain is not soybean country, but it is corn country, and the corn crop can withstand this a whole lot easier.
Let's hopscotch across the globe just a bit. Can you check in on Ukraine and parts of Russia and their growing regions, please?
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter out there about problems coming up for parts of the Black Sea region. In the past 30 days, parts of central and eastern Ukraine have had less than half of normal precipitation. In fact, about a third of the country has had no more than 25% of normal moisture. But they have just come out of their snowmelt season, and they have plenty of moisture around at the moment. There's a lot of concern about what happens next, and I have to admit that the forecast for eastern Europe and parts of the western CIS is for a tendency to be drier biased here late in April and especially in May. So this may be the beginning of something, but for right now, there's not enough dryness out there in any part of Eastern Europe or in Ukraine to really justify any scare in the near-term part of the outlook. But perhaps in May, the whistle will fester into something more significant. And for Russia, you know, they just went through another period of very cold air, and they put back some more snow on the ground after they were melting snow fairly well. They are still a ways to go yet in the northern part of the country before their snow is all gone, and they still are dealing with excess moisture. So Russia doesn't have any issues with dryness right now.
Hey, while you're in the debunking mode, anything in the United States we are concerned, or in this case, not concerned about?
Well, you know, there is the chatter out there that it's raining too much in the Midwest, the Delta, and even a part of the southeastern states. And, you know, it's only the 5th of April, and we have a storm system moving through the Midwest. It'll be with us today and tomorrow, but it's going to be gone after that. We have one more little system that comes across on Sunday into Tuesday of next week, produces some showers and thunderstorms. But the rest of the two-week forecast period is not offering tremendous amounts of moisture, and we'll have temperatures that will warm up a little bit better after this cold weekend. So I think we're going to be looking at some field work that's not too far off from normal, and I think it's premature for us to be concerned about prevent plant acres and all that kind of stuff. It's just the beginning of the season. I think we'll manage to get these crops planted.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you have to say next week. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check in with the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. Stephen Linneber is on the line. Rain, rain, rain. I'll bet farmers in your area are thinking, I'd rather be planting corn about now. How are things there?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But at the same time, we've watched this thing stay a little saturated. We've watched corn movement pick up just a little bit. I mean, if it's going to be rainy and wet outside, the farmer wants to do something. So we've actually watched movement continue to pick up, has kept basis relatively firm, and I think you couple that with a little bit of stronger trade on the electronic side, it feels like we might be trading a little bit of weather here today, but has kept corn movement good, so we won't complain about it 100%, but guys sure are getting antsy.
In your area, you've been short corn in total for a couple of years now. How far over is your basis at the moment?
About a nickel.
Yeah, so you're still 5 cents over at this time, and that's enough to make corn move on the spot month. Have you heard or been checking in with the grain elevator? Are producers making any new crop sales?
A little bit, but at the same time, it's was a situation where it kind of set a little stagnant there ahead of the acre intentions report. We got a 5 to 6 cent rally off of that. Some sold that for their first 10% sale. Outside of that, has been very minimal. As we feel like now you're going to continue the opportunity to maybe see $4 futures trade again, feels within reach. So they're a little hesitant to go that next 10 to 20% off of the first 10%.
And are they worried about their new crop soybean sales?
Some. I think if you are, you probably didn't do enough ahead of time. I think for the most part, those who that we work with on a daily basis got it a comfortable percent sold that regardless of what this report did last week, they would have some coverage a lot closer to $10 than where we currently sit today.
End users in the area on the hunt for soybeans at this time, too?
A little bit. A month ago, not so much. Things got pretty full. We've still heard of a little few places that got some inventory to work through yet that we've watched basis creep up a little bit. Just from a downward turn in the market, and guys getting a little nervous that in places we may, run a little short and try to be on the front end of that before it. You have to dig too deep into inventory, but hasn't been quite as drastic as some would have expected, but it definitely is a better value than a month ago.
And what are your bids actually for the day?
370 corn climbers, cash beans, it'd be about 9.25.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Stephen Linneber is with the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.